The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
You have an insert in your order of service that says a call to an ancient evangelical future. We're going to look at that in just a second. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this document called A Call to an Ancient Evangelical Future. And it's something that was put together by a host of theologians of all denominational stripes, evangelical theologians, back in 2006. And as they looked across the landscape of the church, they said, you know, there are some things that the evangelical church is doing really well, and we need to affirm those. There are also, at least in our view, things that the evangelical church needs to watch out for and perhaps be called away from or corrected. And so this call to an ancient evangelical future was put together by a broad array of theologians of all denominational stripes to take a look at the evangelical church. We're going to get to that in just a second. On the back side of that piece, or the front, depending upon how you look at it, is a blank sheet mostly, except it says cruciform holiness. And today I want us to talk about that phrase, cruciform holiness. And I want you to be thinking about what that might mean to you, or how would you define the phrase cruciform holiness? Don't answer yet, but be thinking about that, because I'm going to ask you here in just a second. There's two words, cruciform, what in the world does that mean? Holiness, well, there's a whole theological dialogue we could have about what in the world holiness means. What does it mean to be holy? But we're going to talk about that in just a second. In the meantime, I'd like for you to use this blank space to sketch out some ideas as we're moving along. There might be a phrase or a word in Scripture or perhaps an image that comes to mind about what cruciform holiness might look like. So if you don't have something to write with, we have plenty of pens and markers and all kinds of things on the table just outside. Does anybody need something? Just raise a hand and we'll have somebody go get. Everybody has something to write with. Okay, good. Cruciform holiness. So some words might come to mind or some images might come to mind. I want to start first with, so you're working on that as we're, do you like to doodle when you like are sitting around? I do that all the time. It's not necessarily holy doodling, but in this case, I'm asking you to do some holy doodling. Let's start with the lectionary passage though for today, please. It's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and following, all the way over to the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the 5th chapter and the 15th verse and following. And we hear something in this passage about the way we should worship, or it's talking about how we go about worshiping, how we live, what kind of music should we be making. It's a wonderful passage. Verse 15, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Does that speak to you today? Okay. And we were just talking a few minutes ago about not only being on the lookout in the past week for how God might be at work or calling to holiness, but we're also talking about looking into the week ahead. How is God calling us to holiness? Maybe there's a place where He's calling you to do something that we can come along beside you. Paul says, you should make the most of every opportunity. Verse 17, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Lord, what is your will in this situation? What should I do? I'm going to start a whole new junior high program tomorrow, Lord, and I've got Latin. And Pastor Chris certainly can't help me with that. What is your will for me, Lord? I've just come back from a vacation. I want to be more artistic and more expressive, but I also need to manage my time better. What is your will, Lord? How should I proceed? I want to start a website, Lord, because I have a passion for reaching people with the gospel, but I'm not sure what your will is. What is it? Show me. Verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." I love that. Speak, now watch this. "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." For the time being, just circle the word hymn, if you would. "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "Submit to one another in everything." Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. One of the church fathers says only those raised up in piety could possibly understand that. Submit to one another. So I hear a lot of different things going on in here. I hear live a life of thanksgiving, sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Do this in community. Why? Because only those who are steeped in piety could understand it. Submit to one another in community out of reverence for Christ. So we're talking today about holiness, and more particularly, cruciform holiness. This passage, I think, gives us some indications about that. Let's talk first about holiness. What do you know about holiness? And when you hear the word holiness, what springs to mind? Jeff says, no, we're not. We're not holy. No, not by ourselves and of our own. And yet, there's that curious passage, isn't there? In 1 Peter 1:13, we're going to look at that in just a minute, where he quotes Leviticus and says, God says, you be holy, because I'm holy, or as I am holy. All right, what else springs to mind when you hear the word holiness? Purity. Bob says purity. Your righteousness is in Christ. Yes, and we talked about that last week, didn't we? We were talking about spiritual formation and spirituality. And one of the things we said last week is that you are spiritual. Yes, you are. Sounds like a high school football chant, doesn't it? You are spiritual. Yes, you are. You are spiritual because your spirituality is in Christ. That doesn't rhyme. But you are spiritual because your spirituality is Christ Jesus. It's bound up in Christ. So holiness has kind of a similar aspect to it. I also think about the holiness movement. You may know that in the mid-19th century, there was this movement called the holiness movement. It sprang from Wesleyan theology. Other denominations adopted the idea as well. And the notion was, in general, that when we are born again, God imputes some holiness to us. We are called out. Holiness, theologically speaking, means called out or set apart. But in the holiness movement, they also believe that there was something that came along a little later as we are in the process of being sanctified. They called it a second blessing, where you achieved a state where you could at least keep yourself from willful sin. And so there was a kind of a sinless living that you were striving for or working toward, partially up to you, partially a gift of God. I mentioned 1 Peter. Let's look at that just a second. Would you flip over to 1 Peter? 1 Peter 1:13, and he's quoting Leviticus 11. Later on in chapter 2, he's talking about being called to priesthood. And at 1 Peter 1:13, he's talking about, well, being holy. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For as it is written, be holy because I am holy. Going back to Leviticus 11, where God says, you know what? I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I'm calling you to holiness. So we live in this crazy tension of not being holy on our own, but God calling us to holiness. And today we're talking particularly about cruciform holiness. And as we work toward a definition of that, I want you to think back to the hymn that's mentioned in the Ephesians passage. You remember a little earlier, we were looking at that passage that says you ought to sing what? Psalms. We know what that is. Hymns, spiritual songs. And there is much to be learned, I think, about our relationship with Jesus and also holiness when we take a look at hymns. So what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to go to one of the most well-known Christological hymns at Philippians 2:5. What is a Christological hymn? It's a hymn to Jesus. So if holiness means set apart and also belonging, there's that community aspect again. That means that there's a unique relationship to God. We're set apart and called to holiness. So in light of God's revelation of Himself in Jesus, this means that we're united with Jesus in and through the Holy Spirit. Wonder how that works. So let's look at this Christological hymn, Philippians 2, 5 and following. And this is a hymn. So here's the kind of hymn we should be singing. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Imagine this part being sung. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Are any images coming to mind about cruciform holiness? Are you working on your little doodling sheet? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I love that phrase. There's dynamism in that. Caitlin, talk about creativity. I see all kinds of colors and I see all kinds of movement in that. Jesus, though he was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, so he made himself nothing. Other translations say emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What would it look like to see God, very God, begotten, not created, emptying himself, taking the form of a servant? I think we're on our way to figuring out what cruciform holiness is. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now watch this dynamism here. Watch this action. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Man, that'll sing, won't it? What a hymn. By the way, if you're marking down other Christological hymns in Scripture, there's one in Colossians 1:15. You might want to jot that down. Oh, we were in Ephesians just a few minutes ago. If you take a look at Ephesians 5:14, you see another one. There's something to be learned about not only our relationship to Jesus, but how we should also behave and function in the world when we look at these beautiful Christological hymns. What image do you see, and what do you learn about cruciform holiness when you look at this particular hymn to Jesus? What do you see? Humility. So I hear several things there. You're saying hearing from the Lord, humility, and responding. All right. Think about what that might look like as a picture. Can you draw that? Can you write that? Is there a poem that can express that? Say, well, I can't draw. Okay, what about a word or two or a little poem? What does cruciform holiness mean? I was reading some commentary on this Philippians 2 passage, and one author says, cruciform holiness stands in marked contrast to key Roman values of the day, he said, which can also infiltrate the body of Christ. And here's some of them. Those values associated with the libertine and status-seeking lifestyle of the elite, and those related to the power and domination predicated of imperial divinity. Well, we have some of that today, don't we? In this narcissistic culture that we live in, where anything goes except Christianity in some ways, status-seeking lifestyles, power, domination. He goes on to say, this cruciform holiness means, in sum, becoming like Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit of the Father and the Son, and thus also becoming like God, for God is Christ-like. And so he changes the phrase, I am holy, so you be holy, to this, you shall be cruciform, for I am cruciform, says the Lord. This author goes on to say, Paul's notion of holiness challenges privatistic, self-centered, therapeutic, and sectarian notions of holiness. Cruciform holiness is inherently other-centered and communal. Do you hear that? Listen, one of the most outrageous countercultural things we could do today as a church is to be accountable to one another in community. Because ain't nobody got time for that in this world. Nobody wants to be accountable meaningfully. Wow, how countercultural would it be if we're accountable one to another? Because that's cruciform holiness, and it's other-centered, and it's communal. He finishes up by saying, it is differentness of character, but continued existence in the world. Wow, that's interesting. It's differentness of character, but continued existence in the world. And that stands in contrast to some of the theology we've been talking about lately, about this notion of the world is rotten and awful, and I'm going to be separate from it, and I can't wait to get out of here, because my ticket's bought and my bag is packed and I'm going to wait on the train platform till Jesus pulls in. But cruciform holiness means that we're in community and we're in the community, if I can say it that way. And, he says, it is public participation in the story of God in Christ by the Spirit. Public participation in the story of God in Christ by the Spirit. That's worth saying again. Cruciform holiness is public participation in the story of God in Christ by the Spirit. We're entering into somebody else's story, and it's not ours. And doing that publicly, while we're in community and accountable to one another, is part of what it means to have cruciform holiness. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became a servant. I wrote my buddy Don Richman this week. He's a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network, a wonderful author. You can read some of his things at the Ancient Future Faith Network site. And I asked him, okay, in a nutshell, how would you define cruciform holiness? And he said, cruciform holiness refers to being formed into Christ's image by conforming ourselves more perfectly to our Lord's suffering and death upon the cross. Of course, as might be expected, this includes resurrection life in the Spirit. I love that. I asked Ellen the same question this week, and she came upon something that I think is really good. And it went to a place exactly where I was thinking, or very nearly where I was thinking as well, particularly when it comes to a picture. Because when I think of cruciform holiness, like times when I think about many other things, I think in pictures. And I was thinking about this notion of cruciform. So cruciform means what? In the shape of the cross, in the form of a cross. Holiness in the shape of a cross. Well, to me, that's the picture. It's hard to think about power and domination when you're taking this shape. It's hard to think about narcissistic self when you're in this position. It's hard to think about not caring about the world and just biding my time until I go to heaven when you're in this shape. It's hard to think about being the same as everybody else and fitting in when you take this form. But rather, it's much more easy to be other-centered when you take this shape. It's a lot more easy to be vulnerable and open to community when you take this shape. It's a lot easier to be open and receptive to whatever God has in mind for you when you take this form. Ellen wrote, "For me, cruciform holiness means that my posture and likeness in the world takes the shape of the cross." Really good. So as we're thinking about cruciform holiness, and you're doodling, and you're drawing, or you're writing, sketching, putting down some words or phrases, I also want you to look at the other side of the same sheet, and let's see what the call to an ancient evangelical future is calling us to when it comes to this business of holiness. Is holiness something that we strive for? Is holiness something that we have because we found it when we looked deep, deep down inside of ourselves? Is holiness a gift? Is it a destination? Or like our spiritual formation, like our spirituality, is holiness found in the person and work of Jesus Christ? And somehow, I don't know how, somehow formed and developed in us when we take on a cruciform holiness. Much like our master, who being in the very nature God did not consider something equality with God something to be grasped, taking on the form of a servant. Here's what the call says. We call for a cruciform holiness and commitment to God's mission in the world. This embodied holiness affirms life, biblical morality, and appropriate self-denial. It calls us to be the faithful stewards of the created order and bold prophets to our contemporary culture. Wait a minute, that's going to be hard because the world has already decided what our relationship to the created order is, right? First of all, it wasn't created. And second of all, somehow we belong to it. And I mean, and everybody thinks that, right? No, the reason we ought to care about the created order is because of cruciform holiness, because God created it and we've been placed as stewards over it. Thus, we call evangelicals to intensify their prophetic voice against forms of indifference to God's gift of life. Evangelicals, have we been indifferent to God's gift of life? Yes, we have. Economic and political injustice. Evangelicals, have we sometimes been guilty of ignoring economic and political injustice? Yes, we have. Ecological insensitivity and the failure to champion the poor and the marginalized. Evangelicals, have we been insensitive to God's creation? Yeah, we have. And one of the reasons is we've had this notion that the world is awful and gross and I can't wait to get out and get home to heaven. So it doesn't really matter what I do with the world. No, it was created good by God and we ought to take care of it. And what about this business about the poor and marginalized? Have we been indifferent to their voices? Have we not seen them? Yeah. Too often, we have failed to stand prophetically against the culture's captivity to racism, consumerism, political correctness, civil religion, sexism, ethical relativism, violence, and the culture of death. And these failures have muted the voice of Christ to the world through His church and detract from God's story of the world, which the church is collectively to embody. Therefore, we call the church to recover its countercultural mission to the world. A few minutes ago, our friend reminded us of what it's like to have thousands of Christians on their knees and in prayer, and what wonderfully powerful change can happen when we do that. Can you imagine tons of evangelicals out there embodying cruciform holiness in the world? That's a tall order. There's lots listed there. There's lots we need to call ourselves to. But let's think this week about cruciform holiness and how we can embody that in the world and look more and more like Jesus, who, though being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself and made Himself a servant. Calling you to holiness, calling me too, in community and accountability. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give You thanks for Your call to holiness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that through the gift of the Holy Spirit and in community, we would be holy as You are holy, that we would be cruciform as You are cruciform. And I pray, Lord, that You would take the pictures and words and doodles and sketches and ideas that we've thought about today during the teaching time, and with Your help, figure out how to embody those as we call ourselves to holiness. For we ask all of these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.